We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what they call the 48th chapter, the 10th Pasuk. The Navi says to the Jewish people, Hinei tzirafticha v'lo v'chasef. Behold, I have purified you. And not the way one would purify silver. When you purify silver, you turn on a high fire, you melt it, and then you purify the silver by heating it up. That's not how I have purified you, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather, Becharticha Bechur Oni. I have chosen you. I have chosen on your behalf the purification of Oni. What is Oni? Oni. So Oni could mean poverty. Oni could mean Inui. Oni. The purification of Targum says being impoverished. The Jewish people underwent this long period of being impoverished so that they would grow from it, they would become purified from it. Others explain it to mean our suffering. The way we grew was through being the downtrodden nation. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says you have what to learn from it. Ah, okay, so that's how we learn. Lemani, lemani, eseki ech yechal. Hashem says, it's for my sake that I will save you. It's for my sake, ki ech yechal. How can I let my name be desecrated with you being destroyed? So the Ribbono Shel Olam again is giving us over the head and saying, you don't deserve it. The Jewish people have not lived up to their end of the deal, time and again. And time and again Hashem says, but for my sake, we're connected. And so I won't let you be destroyed. The Pasuk says twice, Lema'ani, Lema'ani. It's for my sake. It's for my sake. As though Hashem is saying, that's the only reason. Don't add anything. Don't think you've done anything worthy of being a part of this. You haven't. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, as a nation, our weaknesses by far outweigh our strengths. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam says, the only reason you're getting out of it is for my sake. Wow, what a difficult prophecy. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, but my name is connected with you. And when people put you down, they're in essence trying to put me down. And so Hashem says, Uchvodi lacher lo etein. I won't let them take away my honor. I won't let them say that their God is greater than I. And so Hashem says, I'm not going to let you fall. Someone came to ask me a week or two ago about a person who converted. They said to me, can you recommend them? So I said, very highly, yes. So they said, what's their story? I said, they're a tzaddik. The person wanted to join the Jewish people. They were living in a place where people aren't Jewish, and they came to the realization that this is what's right, and they left the world they know, and they converted. So the person looks at me and says, you and I were born into this, but if someone's normal and they have a good life, why would they get themselves into this? So the person was half joking. And I said to them, excuse me. First of all, because it's right. There's people want to live the right life. What do you mean? So the person asking the question said, let them keep seven Noahide laws. That's also right. What do they have to take on all this for? So I was a little bit in shock, because this is a person who's already a parent, and I don't know if their kids are married, but they're of age to be married. They're either grandparents or their soon-to-be grandparents. You'd think at that stage in a person's life, they'd reach a peace and understanding that it's a good fortune to be here. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, my name is intertwined with your name. We were given not only a responsibility, but we were given a tremendous zchut. It's not only about what's right, it's also about the merit. I happened to go to the Chabad website this week, and when I was there, I saw they have this flag. When I was a kid, I guess they still have it, but when I was a kid, you could join the Chabad flag. Chabad had a flag. This was in the Rebbe's time. The Chabad had a flag that was a beautiful flag of blue and red, and it had a tzadi hay on it, Tzivot Hashem, the army of Hashem. And as kids, we would get badges that we could wear and stickers that we could put on our wallet, and we'd walk around with this pride. We didn't connect it to Chabad, we connected it more to, I'm a part of this Tzivot Hashem, I'm part of the army of Hashem. There's a flag we carry on us, and it shocked me how I haven't seen that flag in maybe 20 years, probably more, maybe 30 years. And when I saw it, right away it aroused these warm feelings. Wow, that's my flag. What do you mean that's my flag? Today I understand that no, it's part of Chabad. I'm not Chabad the Seder. I value Chabad. But I looked at it and right away my thought was, that's my flag. You know, as a little kid, that's the flag I'd always put on my stuff. And there's a flag we carry. We do carry that flag. So Chabad took it, but it's really the flag of the Jewish people, Tzivot Hashem, or the army of Hashem. And the pasuk here says, when all else fails, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're carrying my flag. I'm not going to let you fall. You're representing me in that world. It's not only because it's right. It's also because it's a tremendous merit for a person to carry that flag, the flag of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm still reeling from the way this adult responded. It left me questioning them. They came to question the other person, left me with a big question mark about them. But 613 mitzvot are a merit. They're not always easy, but we're carrying Hashem's flag. The pasuk says, Shema Eilai Yaakov V'Yisrael Mekorai. Listen to me, Yaakov. I changed your name, Yisrael Mekorai. I changed your name to Yisrael. Ani hu, ani rishon, af, ani acharon. It is I, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I was the first before creation of the world, and I'm the last. I'm going to be here till the end. Don't think for a second that maybe I have nothing to do with this world. I was here before, and I'm going to be here after. Af yadi yased ha'eretz v'imini tipecha ha'shamayim. My left hand established the earth. My right hand supported the heaven. Kore ani aleihem ya'amdu yachdav. I am the one who calls to them, and with my declaration, I cause them to both exist together, the heaven and the earth. How does the heaven stand? How does the earth stand? Because I said so. The Ribbono Shel Olam says it's my declaration that makes it so. So we understand this better about the heavens. There's this concept that's referred to over and over again in the Psukim of Tanakh, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam split the heaven from the earth, so the humidity, the waters of the heaven wanted to reconnect with the waters of the earth, and the Ribbono Shel Olam yelled at both of them to stop. And Hashem's yelling kept the Hashem's roar, so to speak, the awe of Hashem kept the heavens in their place and the waters in their place. And that's what the Midrash repeatedly talks about the waves as being, those that try to break out of their limitation. The view we have in Tanakh is that the waters from below keep having this urge to go back up to reconnect. And the waves are always challenging this decision that they should be down below. So the sea is always in turmoil. The waters are always in movement, and the sea always wants to break out. Why am I stuck down here below, separate from the heavenly waters? The heavenly waters also wanted to come down, and Hashem said, stop, you're up here, stay. And so they also got frozen up there. So that's as far as the heaven. But here we see that the earth also, add this declaration to keep it standing. And it could be, I don't know of commentaries that expand on this idea of the earth being held by Hashem say so, but there is a concept that Tole Eretz al Bili Ma, that Hashem keeps the world hanging, the idea that planet Earth, the Earth remains in a certain place in its orbit, remains in a certain, the whole solar system remains in a certain place, Hashem keeps it hanging. The pasuk says al Bili Ma, that Hashem's, so to speak, on almost nothing, it's all hanging, but it's Hashem's utterance. Hashem says, I keep it so. So I'm not sure if the idea of Yased Eretz, establishing earth, and supporting the heavens, keeping the heavens above, these two ideas are the same when Hashem says, my declaration made them both this way. Yes? Right. So that's another concept. The idea that the waters unite through the waters evaporating and going up and the waters coming down from above. That's another concept. The question is, the water that we see as rain, is that really coming from the heavens that the pasuk is describing? And when the pasuk says waters above and waters below, what waters are we talking about? Are the waters above the same physical waters as the waters below? Is that what we're talking about? And is the rain a representation of the reconnection of the two? It's a good question. Why is it that the waters of the sea, when they evaporate into the clouds, they become sweet, and then they come back down? The Gemara discusses that. The question here is always, did the Gemara mean these concepts literally? Did the Pasuk mean the concepts literally? When the Pasuk says Hashem split the waters and made the heavens and the earth, does the pasuk mean the humidity of what we call the sky that gives it the blue color and the waters of the sea? Or is the pasuk talking about something completely different? Meaning, how do we understand that pasuk?
You mentioned before the water is frozen up there. It looks like modern science figured out in the universe is a huge amount of frozen water.
Yeah. So I don't know that. Okay. So, the truth is that although we're learning the Pasuk as part of the Nevuah, there's really a Gemara on this Pasuk which is very important. The Gemara brings a Machloket, Bet Shamayin, Bet Hillel. What did Hashem create first, the heavens and the earth? Rabbi Leibel Resnick, he probably quotes it from somewhere, but he once I once had the good fortune of attending his shir, and he said that the idea of the Machloket Bet Shamayim Bet Hillel shows up throughout the Shas, and he gave many examples of this, as to the concept of which is on top. Do we view the heavens as being the more important or the earth as being more important? He connected the halachic disagreement with the philosophical disagreement with the discussion of which was created first. So the Talmud tells us, Beis Shammai says Hashem created the heavens first, Beis Hillel say the earth first, and then the Shechina settled between them. And from this pasuk, Af yadi yased haaretz v'eretz v'miniti pecha shamayim, from this pasuk, they reached a conclusion. Hashem's presence was between them, the Medrash says, and they reached the conclusion that Hashem used both hands to create both at once. So who was right? Neither. Both. Who is right? The answer comes out to be something different. As my left hand established the earth, my right hand established the heavens. So you could say they're both right. You could say neither was right. I thought that this is the only place I noticed that the term Shechina settled between them appears. And I think that what the Talmud is teaching us is that when the Shechina is between two people or two groups, they will attain the truth and realize that the truth isn't exactly what one thought, it isn't exactly what the other thought. It's a new creation that can come out of both of them, and that's the idea of marriage also, where we say the Shechina is between them. If I think I'm right and she thinks she's right, and then the Shechina is not yet there. When the Shechina comes between us, we realize there's a new option which can indicate that we're both wrong or show us how we're both right, but it's something else. It's not exactly what I thought or what she thought. That's Shechina Beinayim. So the Talmud says, this Pasuk was when the Shechina settled between them. They noticed, from this Pasuk, we understand that the creation happened not exactly how Beit Shammai thought, not exactly how Beit Hillel thought. They both came to a conclusion, it's something else.